जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरदारी। यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यामुनातीर ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। हरि राम संकीर्तन की जय। संवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। नमो शुक्राय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय विपरे श्रीमते भक्ति विकास स्वामी नामे। ओम ज्ञान दमिरंदस्या ज्ञानंजन श्लाघया चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य स्थापितं येन रूपा स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदे श्रीपदकमलं श्रीगुरो वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगनरगमातान्वितं सजीव साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगनललिता श्रीशाखान्वितं। नमामि शुभदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनां। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे कौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौरवप्रवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम So, devotees have ordered me and asked me to speak on mood and mission. So, I will speak an introductory part of mood and mission and conclusion of mood and mission, beginning and end. There is one verse in sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is introduction to mission of Krishna, mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and mission of Acharyas and mission of Srila Prabhupada. I will just read that. This is from first chapter of sixth canto. Title is The History of the Life of Ajamila. Text number 38, 6138. Shri Vishnu Duta Uchuhu Yuyam Vai Dharma Rajasya Yadi Nirdesha Karinaha Bruta Dharmasya Nastatvam Yascha Dharmasya Lakshanam. Translation. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, said, if you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. So you all know the background. So Yamadutas came to take away Ajamila. Then because Ajamila, out of fear of Yamadutas, he remembered his son and shouted his name, Narayana. Then when Vishnu Dutas heard that someone is calling their master's name, so immediately they came there and they stopped. Then Yamadutas, they argued, who are you people stopping us? We are servants of Yamaraja, and this Ajamila is sinful. He is supposed to be in the custody of Yamaraj because all living entities, among all living entities who are sinful, they are supposed to be under the custody of Yamaraj. Yamaraj doesn't have influence on everyone, only on impious souls, sinful. Those who are pious, he doesn't have control over them. So Yamadutas, they argued like that. Then Vishnu Dutas, from this verse onwards, they argue. And especially they questioned, Yuyam vai dharma rajasya yadi nirdesha karinaha. You are order carriers of dharma raja. If you are order carriers, yadi. If yadi means if. So, if you are order carriers of Nirdesha Karina, means order carriers of Dharma Raja, Yamaraja, then you should explain to us Bruta Dharmasya Nastatvam Nacha Dharmasya Lakshanam. What is Dharma and what is Adharma? You should explain to us like that. So, this is one thing which Krishna also in Bhagavad Gita, from beginning to end, he explains what is dharma and what is adharma, beginning to end. So, here this question was asked, and in the purport we will read this purport. So Prabhupada, he explains how a servant should know the teachings of master or mission of the master. If someone is representing some other person, he should know what is his mission. This inquiry by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yamadutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraja claim to be carrying out his orders. And therefore, the Vishnu Dutas very intelligently asked them to explain the symptoms of religious and irreligious principles. A Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly well because he is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord says, Sarva dharmam paritajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Therefore, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. those who have surrendered to the principles of material nature instead of to Krishna are all impious regardless of their material position. Unaware of the principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered sinful rascals, the lowest of men and the fools bereft of all knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.15, Namam Dushkritino Muda Prapadyante Naradhama Maya Paharita Jnana Asuram Bhava Mashrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. One who has not surrendered to Krishna does not know the true principle of religion, otherwise he would have surrendered. The question posed by the Vishnu Dutas was very suitable. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, otherwise they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. So, here in this, towards the end of the purport, particularly Prabhupada, he instructs to devotees in Krishna consciousness movement. The devotees in Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, otherwise they will be considered foolish. So these statements often appear in the this phrase, you know, Krishna consciousness movement, Hare Krishna movement, or ISKCON, or in our society. So Prabhupada often in his purports, in his lectures, teachings, conversations, he especially, particularly gives instructions to the members of Krishna consciousness movement, or he defines what is this Krishna consciousness movement, or what is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement, what are the activities of Krishna consciousness movement, and what are the benefits of Krishna consciousness movement, who can take to this Krishna consciousness movement, who is eligible to take to and who do not take to Krishna consciousness movement. So all these things Srila Prabhupada has defined in his teachings. So, and especially Prabhupada was so very elaborate in his presentation, there is no room for misunderstanding what is his mission, what is Krishna consciousness movement. So this kind of, you know, statements, they repeatedly come in purports of Srila Prabhupada. So what I call them as, they are mission statements of Srila Prabhupada. So our mood and mission statements of Srila Prabhupada. So all these statements are collected and they are going to be presented in the form of a book for those who study Srila Prabhupada books, they will understand it. But still, it's generally our experience that when we read, we miss the lines between fingers, you know, or, you know, they escape. So, therefore, to make it more clear what is mission of Srila Prabhupada, so this book is being presented by His Holiness, Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. So, I was a little bit of helping in that. Now I am not doing. Means I. So all these statements are collected, and someone else had done that research. So I put them in proper order, because these statements, this is particularly instruction of Srila Prabhupada to the members of Krishna consciousness. The devotees in Krishna consciousness must therefore be fully aware. Sometimes it is these statements are instructions to the members of the Krishna conscious movement. Sometimes they define our Krishna consciousness movement is like that. They are defined. Or the purpose, sometimes they are purpose. So in different categories I was putting all these statements. So of course Guru Maharaj said, I have changed the order, he said. But this is introductory. This is key for why we should know the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Why this book? This is introductory statement. It is also instruction. Instructions to understand the mission. Why we should know the mission of the Acharyas. And here he says, they should be aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So, being devotees of Krishna, and we are preaching on behalf of Krishna, executing the mission of Krishna. So we should know Krishna's teachings. That means Bhagavad Gita. Mission of Krishna is defined in Bhagavad Gita and in Bhagavatam also. So especially in the fourth chapter, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkrita. And then in the 11th chapter, so Arjuna particularly asked Krishna, who are you? What is your mission? When he saw universal form, when he saw Kala Rupa, particularly. So then Krishna says that I am the great destroyers of the world, I have come to destroy everyone except you, five Pandavas, he says. And then in the next verse also, that verse is there. Anyway, I have killed all these people, you take the credit. So, basically Krishna's mission is to destroy the demons, protect the sadhus and establish dharma. So in the 11th chapter we come to know more about that he wants to kill all this Duryodhana, Dushasana and company. And he wants to establish Yudhishthir Maharaj as king of the world, by which there will be protection of the sadhus and establishment of dharma simultaneously. This is Lord Krishna's mission. But a whole book can be written about Lord Krishna's mission. A whole book. So, some 250 pages based on Bhagavad Gita and 1000 pages based on Bhagavad. So, that's another project. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya's mission. What is actually Lord Chaitanya's mission? So, just for example, one example. So, yesterday Prabhuji brought that point, our Lomanchita Prabhu, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Varnashrama is Bahya. Why we need Varnashrama like that? Then I explained to him based on the purport, that verse purport. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness movement has potency to immediately bring people to beyond the gunas, modes of nature, influence of modes of nature. That means beyond, transcendental position, like that Prabhupada puts. Transcendental means beyond gunas. Beyond gunas means beyond varnashrama, because varnashrama is guna karma, vibhagashrama. Krishna consciousness movement has that potency, but not necessary that everyone will be able to apply Krishna consciousness and go beyond. Right? For example, within Krishna consciousness, not everyone in same level, right? Someone is very advanced, someone is still struggling to follow four regulatory principles. And if people have desire to eat, if people have desire to mate, then they need a devotional system to dovetail those material propensities in the service of Krishna. Okay, you have desire to mate, you produce children for the service of Krishna. And send them to Gurukula, not to Karmi school. So, in this way, we need a system for that. That system is, if we are still under the influence of material nature, that system is called, that is to purify that system, to dovetail those material propensities in Krishna service, that is Varnashrama. Now most of the grihasthas, what has happened? They are working. Most of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement will be grihasthas who have desire to mate. Who have desire to mate, you know. So, it's not that we will be just renounced Brahmana class, you know. No. Then their time and energy, what happens? It goes in serving materialistic people. They have to earn their livelihood. So if you don't have Varnashrama, then you will be engaged in the service of not Krishna. But so occupation is not dovetailed in the service of Krishna. But if Varnashrama is there, so if Varnashrama is there, if Varnashrama is there, so we can directly engage our occupation and our material propensities in the service of Krishna. So Brahmana can teach about Krishna. Kshatriya can do management for Krishna. And Vaishyas can produce milk and grains for Krishna. Not that you buy some white substance and offer it to Krishna as milk, you know. Some market poison, grains and vegetables, and offer it to Krishna. That is not devotion, right? So in this way, occupations can directly be engaged. So like these points will come. What is actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? So, Naham vipro nachanarapati napi vaisho na shudro naham varni chagrahapati yathirva kintu prodayam nikila paramananda purnamrita abdir kopir bharto padakmalayor dasa dasa. I am not Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I am servant of the Lord of Gopis. Everyone will quote this verse and they will say, we are beyond Varnashrama. Vaishnava, Vaishnavis, we are all devotees. Why make distinction? We will sing together, dance together. Why you are making? So, in this way, all Sahajiya movement started in Bengal. So we will end up as Sahajiya Muni. So how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Krishna's teaching should be understood? Through, with the help of Parampara Acharyas. Recent Acharyas, they stressed on Varnashrama. So apparently if you see Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will not find any teachings about Varnashrama there.
Because it was there.
So it was existing and already everyone was following. There was no need to write about it and emphasize on that. So what is actually teachings of, if you just read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will not understand what is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to understand what are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Parampara Acharyas. So nowadays what is that? Oh, Hare Krishna mantra is enough. Hare Krishna mantra is enough. But you don't just chant, you know. You want to eat, you want to sleep, you want to mate. If it is just you don't want to do anything except chanting Hare Krishna, then enough it is. But if you want to mate, then grass ashrama is required, marriage is required. Otherwise you will end up as a debauchee and whatever little attraction is there for chanting, that will also go away. So like that, and we should not, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread Harinam Sankirtan. Chanting is enough like that. If you say like that, then our understanding stopped at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only. We did not understand the, you know, Parampara Acharya's teachings. So, like that. Another point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, so, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur came there. And Haridas Thakur particularly, he just resided with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So they were not allowed to enter into Jagannath temple because Haridas Thakur was born in Muslim family and Rupa and Sanatan were converted to Muslim. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he respected that because he told, okay, you can take darshan of chakra, you know, wheel and the
top of Lord Jagannath. It's not different from Jagannath. He did not object. He did not fight with the Pandas in Jagannath temple. So, but when Chaitanya, when Prabhupada came to Jagannath Puri, so he didn't enter into Jagannath temple. He said, "You are not allowing my disciples, therefore I will also not come inside." So it seems that both the mission, you know, what Prabhupada is acting exactly opposite of you know what Lord Chaitanya did, you know. So then it's not exactly opposite, you know. Still Prabhupada is in line with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, Hindus were very pure. They never ate meat. No one broke four regulated principles. No one, even common people, didn't break. Only outside some chandalas, outcasts, you know, they would break four regulated principles. Even in my childhood, I have seen that in the village, if someone starts eating meat, it's a hot issue, you know. Oh, he has started eating now, he has started drinking now, like that. It's a hot issue, a topic of discussion, that is. So society was so pure, it was just some 20-25 years back. So now all Hindus have become lechers. Of course, Prabhupada time also society was pure, but anyway, now all Hindus have become lechers, and such Hindus, because they are born in Hindu family, they have this rubber stamp of Hindu. They are allowed, although they are lechers, degraded to lechers, meat eaters, they are allowed inside a temple. But those who are devotees of, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada, in ISKCON devotees, who follow four regulative principles, they are not allowed, simply because they are born in non-Hindu families. So this is ignorance, Hindu ignorance, Indian ignorance. So you can write a whole book on that, Indian ignorance. This is one example. So there are many things which we can write. I gave one lecture on that, little systematically. Accepting false avatars is another ignorance. Sai Baba worshipping, like that, some ignorance, all this we can. So Prabhupada, he said, you know, my disciples are following regulative principles, why they should not be allowed? So Prabhupada could understand that anyway now Hindus are degrading, they are degrading. They are becoming lechers. Why they should be allowed? If we have principles like this, so we should understand properly, you know, just fanatically external rules following Niyamagra it is. So Prabhupada is following mission of Sri Chaitanya, teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but still he is different. So apparently there may be differences in the mission of Vaishnava Acharyas and Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. So all these things have to be understood. So here Prabhupada, he says, therefore be fully aware of mission of Krishna and Chaitanya. They should be fully aware of mission of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, all the Parampara Acharyas, and including Srila Prabhupada. We should know, because we are followers of Srila Prabhupada, we are in ISKCON institution. So, there are seven purposes, but Prabhupada has explained more elaborately, different, more purposes. Same thing, all can be reconciled in seven, but more with the details in his books. All these things have to be understood. And particularly here he says, all devotees, especially preachers, all devotees and especially preachers. So Mood and Mission book is especially meant for preachers. So they must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. And one who represents someone else must fully know the person's mission and in the beginning also. So this inquiry of the Vishnu Dutas to Yamaduta is most important. A servant must know the instruction of his master. The servants of Yamaraj are claimed to be carrying out his orders. Therefore, Vishnu Dutas very intelligently asked them to explain the symptoms of religious and irreligious principles. A Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly well because he is well acquainted with the instruction of the Supreme Personality of God. At least Bhagavad Gita should be very thoroughly understood, preachers especially, because instructions of the Supreme Personality of God, they are there in Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada quotes this example here of Sarva Dharmam Parityaja. The Supreme Lord says, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Now this it seems very easy if you take on face value. What is the meaning of Sarva Dharmam Parityaja? Oh, we all have understood and we have surrendered like that, we think. Most of the ISKCON devotees must be thinking, oh, I know all Sarva Dharmam Parityaja like that. So, but hardly anyone knows this. So, just for example, I will connect that to this statement, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja. Like Varnashrama. Actually, it was mission of Krishna to establish Varnashrama Dharma. When he says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shajamyaham. Whenever there is increase in irreligion and decline in religion, I appear, he says. So what religion Krishna is talking about? He is speaking about dharma, varnashram dharma. In the next few verses, he says, I have created this Varnashram Dharma. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he said that Krishna comes to establish Varnashram Dharma. So, this is Dharma. And what is increase in irreligion? In Kali Yuga, especially impious activities and irreligious activity means meat eating, gambling, illicit sex and intoxication. So, these four activities, they break the pillars of dharma, religious life. Pillars of dharma are austerity, cleanliness, compassion and truthfulness. So they are destroyed by meat eating, gambling, illicit sex and intoxication. So in this way you see this whole Kali Yuga is such a irreligious society it is. And there is no Varnashrama. So therefore no one follows four regulatory principles. And in turn Varnashrama is dependent on following four regulatory principles. So and in the previous chapter also, third chapter also, Krishna says that if I do not follow, very strong statement, the whole world will be ruined, he says. If I fail to follow dharma and establish example for others, the whole world will be ruined, he says. It's a very strong statement, whole world will be ruined. So in this way Lord Krishna, he says that I follow dharma and make others to follow, give set example for others to follow. And whenever there is decrease in dharma, I appear myself personally. Lord comes to establish Varnashram Dharma. And from Acharya's teachings we have understood, they especially, Bhaktivinoda Thakur told this to one of the last four instructions, final instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. First of the last final instructions, four last final instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that is recorded in Bhakti Siddhanta Vaidya. So he told it, he said it or wrote it, it's not clear but it is mentioned there that you should establish Daiva Varnashrama. And even his mother also told we should establish the Yuvarna Ashram. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur initiated it, Sannyas, Brahmachari Ashram, Grihastha Ashram. So he implemented. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one had, there was no system of sannyas in Gaudiya Sampradaya. And so he initiated it, and Prabhupada, he expanded it and took it all over the world. And through these farm communities, this concept of farm community was one of the contributions of Srila Prabhupada. We didn't see that in any previous acharya books. Or any Prabhupada God brothers, they never envisioned, they must be only preaching, oh, Dasa, Dasa, Anadas, or some Madhurya Ras, or something like that. They never thought, oh, farm community is required. Why devotees need farm community? We are Dasa, Dasa, Anadas. So, and relation between farm communities, simple living, high thinking, and Varnashrama, Prabhupada discusses in one purport in 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. 8th canto, 19th chapter, verse number 21, something like that, somewhere there. So, anyway, Krishna comes to establish Varnashram Dharma. But most of the devotees, they never understand the need, what to speak of establishing it. In our moment, at present moment, if you see, they don't even understand the necessity of it. Forget about establishing it, following it, executing it. Even they are not so intelligent enough to even understand the necessity of it. What to speak of, you know, establishing it, following it. So that shows that they are very far away from understanding Krishna's teachings. Sometimes they may quote this verse, Sarva Dharma Parityaja. Krishna has give up all Brahmin Dharma, Kshatriya Dharma, Vaishya Dharma, just surrender unto me. But following Varnashrama is not against Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam. In fact, that is part of Sarva Dharma Parityaja, that is part of Sharanagati Dharma, that is part of surrender to Krishna. What is surrender by definition if you go? What is surrender to Krishna? What is the meaning of surrender, or how we surrender to Krishna? Act according to his will. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishwaso gopratve varnam tata atmanikshepa karpanyo shadvida sharanagati. These are six limbs of surrender. So whatever is favorable for bhakti, we should accept it. Whatever is not favorable for bhakti, we should reject it. Now Varnashrama farm communities are not favorable for bhakti. Which is more suitable for bhakti? Doing bhakti in demonic society is more suitable, or doing bhakti in farm communities is suitable? So how many people come to Mangalarti here? You know, grihasthas. Yesterday I spoke to that person, one devotee, one boy. So he says he sleeps at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the night. Because every day morning he has to send, he has to write reports in the night, and morning he has to send reports to his head office, some job which he is doing. So every day night he has to write. So is it suitable? But in the farm, 8:30 you can sleep and get up by 3:30. Our Gurudas ji, Gurudas, Gurudas Prabhu, he said recently when he, some five, six months back, he joined our farm, Nandagram. So he says, every day morning I get up by 3:30, 3:15 and chant my rounds, lot of rounds before Mangalarti. So And he said every day like 50-60 devotees are there in Mangal Arati. Every day it is like Shavanam Kirtanam camp or Vyas Puja or, you know, festival it is. Every day, you know. So which Grastha can do like this? Is it not favorable? You are always in the association of devotees. It is not favorable? You can engage your occupation directly in the service of Krishna. You don't have to serve lechas, you know. Job means serving lechas, meat eaters, cow killers. Even from preaching point of view also, we are not a... What is the main obstacle, you know? Material advancement is obstacle in preaching also, no? Right? People are becoming more and more sinful, degraded, or they don't have time for any bhakti, chanting, hearing all this philosophy and all. So if all devotees are also contributing in materialistic advancement by developing technology, by working job in IT companies and all, how it is favorable for preaching also it is. So whole modern society should be rejected by devotees. That is favorable for bhakti. Then we need social occupation society, our own society. We should be independent of karmis for our socio-economic needs. Then varnashrama, that is favorable. So this is rejecting and accepting. Accepting, rejecting this material society and accepting varnashrama society. And rakshishati iti vishwaso. This system is given by the Lord. This socio-economic system is given by the Lord. Maya srashtam. So we should have faith that Lord will protect us by following this system. We should have faith and conviction. Faith and conviction means based on knowledge we should understand. So that Lord will protect us if we follow His system. But now it seems that devotees have more faith. Why they are doing job with karmis, under karmis? Now it seems that they have more faith in education, degrees, boss, or this, you know, jobs, all the socio-economic system made by karmis. This is maintaining us like that, they think. And next principle of surrender is rakshishati iti vishwaso goptrutve varnam tata, accepting Lord as our maintainer. So devotees are thinking, oh, Krishna's system will not protect us and we are maintained by karmi system, social system. But actually, now also Lord only is maintaining everyone, whether they are karmis or devotees. Whether you are in city or in farm, or in varnashrama or demonic system, none of the rascals have made any grains, right or not? Prabhupada used to tell that story, no? That communists, they converted Christians, you know, in Europe. So in the West, so they would go to village and tell people, okay, you go inside your church and pray to God, oh God, give us our daily bread. When they came back from church, they asked, did your God give you? No. Then you ask us, oh communist friends, please give us our daily bread. Then when they asked, truck load of bread will come and they will distribute. And Prabhupada would challenge. So these rascal communists, they did not manufacture grains in their factories. Simple villager may believe them, but a Brahmana will never believe them like that. Actually, there is a deep Brahmanas, they will, you know, they will always be part of Varnashrama system. So they will establish Varnashrama, they will guide people to follow Varnashrama. They will preach against all this atheistic theories, atheistic society. Because if the Brahmanas become part of this, nowadays all our preachers, they just roam in the city and preach in the city, then they will become part of this demonic society. They cannot challenge this. They cannot challenge. They cannot speak strongly. So, anyway, so Brahmanas will never accept this atheism and this atheistic demonic propaganda. So No one has created grains. And we cannot depend on eating microchips, nuts and bolts. We annad bhavanti bhutani. Living entities subsist on anna, whether they are in the city or in the farms. So if we do not, when I give lecture on annad bhavanti bhutani, I ask first, my class begins with who is more important? An IT professional in Bangalore or Mumbai is more, or London or New York is more important, or a farmer in a remote village is more important? And everyone accepts that farmer in the village is more important. Why? Of course, Brahmana is more important in the society, head is more important. But compared to a technologist and a farmer, you know, farmer is more important. Why? Why? And they say, we cannot, if you don't eat, we cannot do anything. Therefore, Krishna says, annad bhavanti bhutani. Living entities subsist on anna. It's not that we have become now very progressed, developed, civilized, and now we don't need any food which is grown by Vaishyas or grown in Krishna's system. So, yeah, now we will do, Monsanto will do, you know, mass farming for us, you know, commercial farming for us. They will plant the seeds with the help of helicopters. They will plant the, you know, along with that planting, they will spray a lot of poison with the help of helicopters and eat poison and suffer and die in the hospital. So you cannot survive without food grown by Krishna's system. So even, and nowadays you see in all the cities, there is so much water problem now. So people don't have water for drinking, they don't have water. In India at least, most of them, in India and all over the world also. In Australia, London, everywhere, London they are recycling. So in near Bangalore, biggest recycling plant is coming. Biggest in whole of Asia. There is no water, there is no water at all in big cities. They are building so many big, big buildings, putting all the people there, and there is no, how can they supply water?
That means that stool water.
Stool water they will recycle and make these hogs to drink stool water.
Again it will come to the pipe.
Nayam Dehada. We used to sell, no? Literally you can see naham deha deha bhajam raloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam. Struggling hard to attain that which is available for hogs and dogs. Literally modern society is. So Bhagavatam, when it says, it is not exaggeration. It is not exaggeration. It is analysis of reality it is. So these hawks, they didn't understand it. So coming back to the point, that unless Krishna sends rain, from where we are going to get water for running even cities also? Forget about agriculture and, you know, maintain villages. Running, to run cities we need Krishna's help. From where we are going to get water? Are we going to mix some H2O and distribute to everyone? Or they in between, they tried some artificial clouds, throw some chemicals in the sky and make artificial clouds. Even if they are successful in that, what will happen? Result will be, these people, they will not drink, they will drink some poison in the name of water, you know. That will cause so many other problems. These idiot fellows, they create problems, and to solve those problems they will create some solution which becomes a cause of so many other problems. So we cannot do. First of all, we cannot bring rain by artificial clouds. Even if we are successful in that also, that will create more problems. Then you have to find another solution for that. So this idiot, whole modern society is entangled in the cycle of problems and solutions. That's all, nothing else. They are completely in ignorance. If we have knowledge, then why we are not able to solve problems? Why we are entangling into more and more and more problems? That shows that we are in ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of suffering. And original ignorance is forgetfulness of Krishna, avidya. So in this way, Krishna is our maintainer. and Krishna only should protect us. Rakshishati iti vishvaso gopritve varanam tata. And how grains are produced, how rain comes? By performance of yagya. Yagya karma samudbhavah. Yagyas are born of prescribed duties. Prescribed duty means what? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Of course, in the purport, Prabhupada says Harinam Sankirtan. But we don't just do Harinam Sankirtan, you know, right or not? So we need along with Harinam Sankirtan, we need Varnashram also. We need prescribed duties we have to follow. Otherwise, it will become adverse. Instead of, if we don't have Varnashrama, so many cows will be killed. So the result will be adverse, you know, people will become sinful and they will not get the necessities of life as it is happening in modern society. So, in this way, Raktishasi iti Vishwaso, and completely dedicating Atma Nikshepa. Like I said, all occupations can be completely dedicated. So brahmacharis can dedicate, sannyasis can dedicate to Krishna. How will the agrastas will dedicate? But if they are in Varnashrama, then they can completely dedicate themselves to Krishna. What is the means? You have to give them some process to dedicate completely, no? That means Sarva Dharma Paritaja is not meant for grastas, it is only for sannyasis. We have to give them a process, right, where they can completely dedicate themselves to Krishna. Presently, the time and energy of devotees goes in, time, energy, everything goes in, or even money also, most of the money. Why devotees, they don't give so much donation to Krishna consciousness? Because their most of their money is just going in paying bills, actually. And their time and energy is going in advancement of materialistic civilization. They are more dedicated to materialistic civilization than Krishna, actually. So if Varnashrama is there, then we can dedicate to Krishna. Completely. Even grahasthas can dedicate. Their children, they can engage in Krishna service. They can give them to Gurukula. So the result of their sex life is going in what? So that is also engaged in materialistic service. So in this way, that is not doubted. Material propensities are not doubted. They are not doubted in Krishna's service. So this Varnashrama is system for doubting in Krishna's service. And then what else? So Karpanya, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, taking sannyas is humility, he says. Karpanya means feeling oneself meek and humble. So previous acharyas, my gurus, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakrishna, they were paramahamsas. They took Babaji vesh. By taking sannyas, Sahaji as they think that, oh, he is taking sannyas, preaching, traveling and preaching, accepting disciples, followers, therefore he has deviated from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's siksha, that Trinada Pishuni Chena, Tharorapi Chahishnu Namani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So like that, they criticize Vaishnavas who take sannyas, sarjiyas. They are deviated from teachings of Lord Chaitanya, they say. But actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, taking sannyas is Trinada Pishuni Chena Tharorapi Chahishnuna. Because two points. One is that our previous acharyas took Babaji Vesh. We are not on their level, therefore we are taking sannyas. Because sannyasi means Parivrajak Acharya and Babaji means Paramahamsa. So it is in a lower position than Babaji. So in this way we are taking. So Varnashrama means, so we are taking in a humble position than our acharyas. That is one point. Another point is, so we accept that still we have some material contaminations. We are not in Babaji level. So by preaching is a purification for sannyasis. Traveling and preaching is. And for grahasthas also, it is a purification. So in this way, So this is feeling oneself meek and humble, just showing that now presently what happens in ISKCON, you know, right or not? They think that we are beyond Varnashrama. They have already attained Babaji Vesh, you know, already attained Paramahamsa stage, you know. So this is against Trinada Pishunichana, feeling oneself meek and humble. Right or not? Or sometimes some brahmachari who is suffering inside heart, but externally he wants to show, he doesn't want to get married and doesn't want to follow Varnashrama. Show that I am a big brahmachari or something like that. Later he will fall down from his sannyas, something like that. Prabhupada told that he is taking sannyas, but he keeps five lovers. If they are beyond Varnashrama, why they are falling down? Why he is keeping five lovers, girlfriends? Says in one conversation, Prabhupada said that. So therefore, this is not accepting our humble position, fallen position, condition, conditional nature, you know. We have conditional nature, we are not accepting that. So therefore, one should, this is actually surrender. If you see, you know, the principles of Varnashrama is not, surrender means, sarva dharmam pariteja means you have to give up Varnashrama. Actually, Varnashrama helps in surrendering to Krishna. And we see the result of not surrendering to, not accepting Varnashrama as a means of surrender, you know. In modern ISKCON is chaos, actually. So many fall downs in some sannyasis, so many grihastha ashrama is chaos. People, they are just becoming divorces, marrying, remarrying, divorce, uncivilized woman society, you know. So then this will not help in purifying the consciousness. Externally we may put tilak, make bead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is said, no? Nake tilak galair mala kali chaila, he says. Nake tilak means on the nose there is tilak and in the neck there is bead. But we will be kali chaila because we are breaking four regulatory principles, right? So this marrying, remarrying, falling down is all breaking four regulatory principles, right? So this is what happens. According to 2004 statistics, more than 180 devotees took sannyas in ISKCON. And out of that, more than 100 fell down, more than 50%. 2004 statistics. So this was told by one sannyasi. So this is what happens. Therefore we have to accept this. It is not against Varnashrama, is not against Sharanagati. It is a means for Sharanagati. So we have not understood Krishna's teachings of surrender to Sarva Dharma Paritejya. So all these things should be understood, otherwise we will become foolish. Actually we have become foolish now. We are not able to challenge the world, you know, intellectually, socially, in any way we are not, economically, spiritually, any way we are not able to challenge. ISKCON is not able to challenge the world. For example, now recent this book ban, they have given this book endorses polygamy, child marriage, and what is that, child labor. So I made some notes on these topics and child labor. I have to send it, complete it and send it. So we can challenge to the whole world that if all the governments of the world, if all United Nations and human rights, child rights activists, philanthropists, socialists, all religious, charitable institutions, even if all of them come together also, they cannot abolish child labor from this world. According to World Labor Organization. So, there are 168 million child laborers in the world, but this is only what is recorded, you know, statistic. There must be more than that. How we will be able to abolish it? And their solution of abolishing child labor is to send kids to school, put them in the school, and that will solve the child labor problem. But there is no means of giving education. There is no means, facilities for educating the children. Mass education, that also will be ultimately it will be failure. Therefore, world governments are not able to give free education to the children. Therefore, this private, private organizations are making business of education. So much earning. It's a big corporation now. You know, school education is. So much money they are sucking, you know, most of the people. So people are struggling hard to educate their children. So it will not. We can challenge them. But we don't have knowledge, you know. We don't have knowledge. How I got this idea that, oh, you cannot abolish child labor? Because if you study Krishna's pastimes, Krishna at the age of 5, he took cows out. And then along with his thousands of covered boyfriends, and at 1 or 2 years after that, he became, on Gopashtami day, he became full-fledged Gopa. He started taking out big cows also. So initially he took out cows. And we know that this is Krishna's pastimes, and in Varnashrama, Vaishya, Shudra children especially, they will contribute into the economy of the family and society. They start learning from their parents how to do pot, how to do carpentry. So all these things, you know, they start learning. So Vaishya children take out the cows. In this way they contribute in the economy of the society and family and society. Now Vedic society, Varnashrama society was so stable, economically so stable. Even in recent history, why Europeans came to India, you know. So basically commercial purpose. One purpose was to convert Indians, religious, evangelical purpose. And another purpose was to loot the wealth of India. Right? And we see even in covered boys, even in Vrindavan, when Krishna, Nanda Maharaj celebrated Krishna's birthday, you know, Janmashtami. So they are throwing, all covered men and women, first of all, they decorate themselves with nice garments, silk garments, it is particularly mentioned there. And they wear all different kinds of ornaments, golden ornaments, you know, both covered men and women. You see some remote village in India, you know, all these things are described. And they are celebrating, throwing butter, yogurt on each other. Now people, they don't have throwing each other and celebrating festival, forget it. They don't have, you know, little butter to eat also, modern day people. They are eating palm oil, soybean oil, third class, worst class. You know. So in Ayurveda there is description, first comes ghee, then comes til oil, then comes mustard or safflower oil. So in this way gradation is their medium of cooking, you know. Previously people cooked in ghee or they cooked in til oil. So gradation. Now they are eating palm oil and soybean oil, low class, right? In the name of ghee, what they put? What is that? That vegetable? What is that? Dalda. What they say actually? What is that? Tell me. Dalda. What they say? Dalda.
Margarine.
Yeah, margarine. Prabhupada also used that. No, they are in West. For doing yajna and all. So degraded modern society is. So the economy was very stable, and main thing was no one had anxiety whether we will get food or not. Brahmana will guide the farmer when he has to prepare his land, when rain is going to come, when he has to, because if they are not planted properly, seeds are not put on right time, then the crop will be failure. So every year, because there would be some variation in the climate and environment, everything, rain, fall. So they would guide astrologically, calculating farmers, you know, how to, when to prepare land, when to sow the seeds, everything. And in that way, farmers would get benefited, and in turn they will maintain Brahmanas and other classes. Vaishyas are meant to maintain the whole society. And a carpenter will make all the agriculture instruments for our house for farmers. And blacksmith will also make. Everyone will, you know, cooperate in agriculture. Basically, farmers, they will assist. So in this way, all there was cooperation among all the classes, and every year at the end of the year they will get their grains. You know, carpenter will go at the harvesting time, he will go to a farmer and collect his grains. Barber will come and collect his grains, because every whole year he will not work for, every time you have to 50, 100 rupees after shaving you don't have to give. They will come, shave in your home only. So our outskirts, you know, just in the. So they will come and shave one round every day morning. He will go around house to house, house to house, you know. So one colony he will shave and come every whole month, whole year he will do like this. Once one round is over, next round again he will go. By the time hairs will grow and he will again. So in this way, barbers will get their, you know, year end they will get their grains from all the farmers. They will collect their grains. No one had anxiety about whether they will get their food and shelter and clothing. Everyone, washerman will every day, so he will come and collect all the clothes and wash and come back and give. And he will hear all the house stories of, he would know every house stories of all the houses, and he will keep telling it to others also. He will be so happily, you know, right or not, joyful. Because you see, people get so much happiness in this masala and prajalpa, right or not? You can see how happy washerman would be. He would know the stories of all the houses in the village, right or not? How happy he would be. So talking to everyone, every house, neighbors of house. And so like that, no one had any anxiety whether they will get food. This is human society. Because you see, animals also don't have anxiety about their food. Some level, it's more than human beings. But modern human society, so much people are anxiety about their career, job, work. So much anxiety, you cannot imagine. Amount of, you know, stress and anxiety people are undergoing just for earning their livelihood. This is not human society, this is subhuman society. Unless one is free from anxiety of eating, sleeping, mating and depending, or in other words, if he is procuring all these things without anxiety, so there is no question of cultivating knowledge about self-realization. So jivas would be just busy in all these basic, you know, activities of life. Where they will chant Hare Krishna? Even in chanting, they will be always thinking about that only. Many devotees, they tell me, all that IT programs which they write while chanting, that programs only keep coming in my mind. Or before sleeping also, all those programs only, I don't get sleep like that. Many devotees, they tell, most of them they tell. So how they will think about chanting and all? Where is the question? Mind would be disturbed, then they will not follow four regulative principles. So, anyway, we have to understand this is what are the teachings of Krishna, how to surrender to Krishna. So, not that I have already beyond now surrender, I have attained prema, Krishna prema now. So otherwise we will become foolish. We have become foolish. We are not able to challenge this modern society. We have become foolish in front. Anyway, I wanted to discuss, this is introduction, why we should understand the teachings. of Acharya's teachings of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are their mission. So conclusion also, I'll speak just a few minutes, just read. This is a verse from 4th Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 28th chapter, verse number 50. So verse is, she then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. So this is about, you know, wife of king of Malayadvaja. Puranjana had become woman and she was married to king of Malayadvaja. And king died, so then she is now sacrificing. This system of sati was there because woman had so much attachment and love and attachment for husband. So she would not bear the separation. It was not forced, but she would voluntarily. And that also had a social, in the society, prostitution and illicit sex would not prevail. There are many good things about that. So Prabhupada in the purport, he writes, I will read full purport. I thought only second part of the purport which is relevant to our discussion, but still. It is a long-standing tradition of Vedic system that faithful wife dies along with her husband. This is called Sahamarana. In India, this system was prevalent even to the date of British occupation. At that time, however, a wife who did not wish to die with her husband was sometimes forced to do so by her relatives. Formerly, that was not the case. The wife used to enter the fire voluntarily. The British government stopped this practice considering it inhuman. However, from the early history of India, we find that when Maharaj Pandu died, he was survived by two wives, Madri and Kunti. The question was whether both should die or one should die. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wife. Actually, if son is there, or especially when son is there, so they don't enter because someone should look after the son. In that case, they go to father's house. They will be under the protection of father until the son grows up. When son grows up, they would be under the protection of son. So it's all perfect system. It is very clear. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wife settled that one should remain and the other should go. Madri would perish with her husband in fire and Kunti would remain to take charge of 5 Pandava children. Even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter the fire of her husband. Now the next paragraph. So, this indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. This is instruction to ISKCON Mataji's. But not only Mataji's, next part of the Prabhupada tells for everyone challenge. Krishna Prabhupada literally challenges everyone. Similarly, a devoted disciple to the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute spiritual master's mission. This is conclusion, no? Of mood and mission, right? After understanding, we should come to this conclusion. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to re-establish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to re-establish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. So, what is the obstacle in executing the mission of the spiritual master? Krishna has explained that Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam thaya paharita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadona vidiyate. So one will not develop vyavasayatmika buddhi, fixed resolution, determination to execute the mission of the spiritual master. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in that previous 41st verse, vyavasayatmika buddhi, that verse, Ekeh Kurunandana Bahushakaya Anantasya Buddhayo Vyavasayana. So in that verse he says we should make a spiritual master's mission as life and soul. So, and what can be obstacle is spoken in 44th verse, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam. If our mind and consciousness is filled with the thoughts of Bhoga and Aishwarya, then we'll not be able to fix our mind and intelligence. Intelligence becomes polluted, many branched. So we'll not have determination and purity of mind to execute the mission of the Lord. Especially Brahmachari Ashram there is facility for completely dedicating our life for mission of the Lord. And even grihasthas, if they adopt Varnashrama, they can fully dedicate their life for the mission of Guru and Krishna. And Brahmacharis, the obstacles can be if we become attached to Bhoga and Aishwarya. Bhoga, among all Bhoga, woman's association is highest Bhoga in the material world. So Brahmacharis are trained to keep away from women and money. So it is not to torture you people, it is to train you to fix your intelligence in mission of Guru, or fix your intelligence in Buddhi, in spiritual life or self-realization. Because in the purport, Samadhi means, Prabhupada says, self-realization, activities of the self. Quoting from Nirukti dictionary or Amarakosha, I think. So that is the meaning, that we should fix our intelligence. So this Brahmacharya training helps in fixing our intelligence in spiritual life, fixing our intelligence in mission of Guru, so and removing these obstacles. So those we all have material conditionings, material desires, material conditioning, we have material nature. But bhakti, what happens is, so by regularly doing sadhana, very strict sadhana, so our material nature is suppressed. Material, desires are there in the heart. Like Ajamila, he was following everything nicely, Brahmacharya, everything, dharma, faro, everything. But that seeds of desire were there in the root heart. So we have, if we do good sadhana daily, then these desires are suppressed. Sadhana, suppresses them and eventually purifies in the long run, purifies all these anarthas. But if our sadhana is weaker than our material nature, our sadhana is not able to control our material nature, then brahmacharis will get married. So sadhana and service attitude also. So sadhana and service attitude. So therefore this training is there. It is not why temple commander or spiritual master pushes so to do good sadhana, develop service attitude, is to fix our intelligence in the mission of Guru, fix our intelligence in spiritual life, self-realization. So otherwise we will become fail. Better die with a spiritual master along with that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We should take questions. 9-10 minutes.
Does this book also speak about Varnashrama? Or is just...
No. Yeah. Varnashrama is also part of Prabhupada's mission. It
so
speaks...
Also,
because it is 50%. Actually, in Krishna's teaching, 50% is Varnashrama. In Bhagavad Gita, 50% is Varnashrama. It comes in different ways: karma, dharma, prescribed duties, Shastra Vidhi, and demons, they do not know what to do, what not to do. They don't follow Shastra Vidhi. And divine qualities have to be imbibed according to Varnashrama. Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhir Jnana Yoga. Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhir Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti is meant for sannyasis, like this, Prabhupada in the purport, he explains all these divine qualities according to Varna and Ashramas. There are Samanya Gunas and then there are specified Vishesha Gunas in that divine qualities. So if Varnashrama is not there, there will be no divine qualities, all demonic qualities. Dambo, Darpo, Vimana, Shakro, Dapa, Roshya, Mehoch. So, So it comes, Varnashrama comes in, so it comes in different ways, these qualities. In the verse itself, doesn't Krishna doesn't specify it is Varnashrama, these qualities, but Prabhupada explains in the purport. So many things which Krishna has spoken, directly Varnashrama is not there, but it is connected, you know, our acharyas, they explain. Now I bhoga Aishwarya, I explained based on Brahmacharya, you know, why Brahmacharya training is here, why grahasthas. That's how you purify material attachment for bhoga and Aishwarya, right? What is the ultimate principle behind Varnashrama is to overcome sex desire, overcome sense gratification.
Practically.
And beginning, from beginning to end, he has, Krishna has condemned this sense gratification.
Now, practically in Brahmacharya Ashram, for example, how this Varnashrama applies in our lives, how we can recognize our nature, and then what is the difference?
Yeah, that is difficult in modern days. Why? Because we have come from Varnasankara. It takes time. Like I will tell you, why in ISKCON they are so much fearful of Varnashrama actually? Because they are all Varnasankara. And Prabhupada defined Varnasankara as those who are not fit for or qualified for taking part in Varnashrama. In first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, in that verse. So, Varna Sankara means their Varna is not determined.
You can decide.
Varna is not determined, you know. You cannot understand. So, why our Varna is not, we are not able to understand? One thing is that Guru, you know, in Gurukula, general traditional system was in Gurukula, Guru would understand. And understanding the Gunas, so he would encourage. And how to understand his Guna nature? Krishna has spoken, for that sake only Krishna has spoken about three modes of material nature. And three modes of material nature is to understand Varnashrama actually. Varnas. Why Krishna is spoken, speaking all these things. There is no mention of Varnashrama in 14th chapter about it. Of course, Brahmana Kshatriya are mentioned. But that is Varnashrama it is. So throughout Bhagavad Gita you will see Varnashrama, 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 Varnashrama. Only because of intelligence, we don't have Brahmanas to understand all these things. So based on Krishna's descriptions, Bhagavatam's descriptions about all the characteristic, you know, behavior, psychophysical behavior, Guru would identify. And that is traditionally, that is how it used to happen. Now in
family itself,
and in modern days, it is not clear why, because it's all Varnasankara it is. So to bring to why, although devotees are supposed to be following four regulative principles are pillars of Varnashrama Dharma. Right? Four regulative principles. By following four regulative principles, we should be able to establish Dharma in our life and in the society, broader society, in ISKCON society and all. So that shows that there is discrepancy in following four regulative principles. Because if we are following four regulative principles, we have to become part of Varnashrama Dharma. That shows that there is some discrepancy in following four regulative principles. Or even if those who are following also, because of breaking four regulative principles previously, they are not sufficiently purified enough to come to the basic principles of Dharma actually. They are not developing affinity towards, you know, attraction towards this simple living and high thinking, renounced Vairagya with their life, you know. So therefore, it is not clear, you know, their Varna is not clear. Basically because of previously breaking four regulative principles. And after 10-15 years, it will become clear what Varna is. That's why many of the Brahmacharis, they get married in middle age. At the age of 40 or something like that. That time they came to know that I am now fit for grahasthasram life. It's disturbance, even for those who are preachers, it is a difficulty it is. We are not able to, whether to push him for Brahmacharya Ashram, Because sometimes if you just push him throughout like this day, sometimes that turns into adverse, you know. He may run away to some congregation Mataji, you know, right or not. It's a difficult. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he put a Prabhupada, he pushed a lot of Grahastha Ashram, you know, he just pushed everyone. To one devotee fell down 9 times, still he gave him sannyas. His name was Nanda Kumar or something. So he gave him sannyas still. He just pushed everyone to become brahmacharis and sannyasis, that's all. So we understand that in the beginning he wanted men to spread his mission, you know. And he pushed even grahasthas also, just preach, 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 go out, start centers. But eventually you have to solidify movement, you know, right? You cannot run like this. That's the result. What happens? Immediately after Prabhupada's departure, what happened? Everyone collapsed. Because there is no social economic system to support the movement in. Are there abuses? Why there were abuses? Because there was no proper system for children, grahasthas. So this will turn out way. Utpata eva kalpate. So determined by Guru. In Bhagavad Gita you see that. I am dharma samudachi. What is my dharma? What is now occupational duty? Dharma samoda cheta, you definitely tell me what is like that. He surrenders to Guru. Now it is difficult even for preachers also, because this whole society, Varna Sankara society, everyone, because after observation of years of observation, it will happen. Now you have to wait for 15 years after joining ashram. Then we will come to know whether Brahmana, Kshatriya. Now so many, another problem is, you see, they are giving a second initiation so freely, you know, right, in ISKCON. So job holders should never take a second initiation. Job holders, because Brahmana, if he does job, then he becomes a, you know, dog, you know. Swavrati, it is told, dog's occupation for Brahmana to take job. And how he will do Gayatri there in the office? He cannot take bath.
Whole rest is like this.
India also, whole world is like that now. Whole world is like this now. India is most very fastly degrading and degraded now, most.
Yeah, you have to work more than the rest.
Yeah.
They work till night.
What is happening is Westerners are exploiting these Indians. You see, America is run by Indians, you know, right? This world economy is run, even in Middle East, Indians, laborers are Indians, and all this executive class is Indians, finance, everything looking, because this dull Muslims, you know, they are so dull bred and brain. They cannot do anything, you know, management and all this. So why our Nanda Kumar Prabhu and all this class of people who are doing, looking after all the finance, banking, this, that, everything of Middle East people, you know, accounts, this, that, everything. Indians are running the world actually. In fact, preaching to Indians, Prabhupada wanted to preach to Indians. Indians is very important because they are mischief makers now in the world actually. They are running this material civilization. Everywhere you see, in Canada 70% are Indians, you know. Canada 70% population is Indians. Where it is? One of the American states, someone showed it to me.
Maybe one city.
No, someone told me, it's country only. Gopinath or someone told me.
medicinal state.
Somewhere. Overall, we see that, you know, right? Indians are working. You know. They are working. That is irrefutable. And others are doing sense gratification. Of course, they are also working. What? It's going on like this.
Where we are now in this society is our position already. How far we became and we collapsed.
Basically, we have to understand the mission, revive the mission of Prabhupada. Now they don't want to establish Varnashrama, they want to go. It is crime in many countries, all this child labor, polygamy, we'll adjust with them and go on like that. So when leadership fails, it's very dangerous, it is. Whole society will go in wrong direction. Prabhupada defined it, you know, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he did a non-cooperation movement against, there is another Prabhupada mission statement there. So people should come under the banner of Krishna consciousness movement and revolt against all the world governments. They are all demonic, he says. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it. Instead of revolting or protest, he uses the word. We should protest against all the governments. Instead of protesting, we are joining hands with the governments. They are making some laws, no polygamy, no child marriage, we have to just follow that. What is this nonsense? Devotees' daughters will become prostitutes by going to school and mixing with boys. How you can? Is there any protection for girls? So, grihastha should do, some kshatriya body should do revolution, political agitation, you know, right against all this nonsense in the world. So, like that, you know. People are blowing, you know, one demon fights with in the name of IS, and another demon in the name of human rights fights, and innocent people are killed. We know that they are not innocent, they are karmic reactions they are getting. But still, we should bring peace in the society, right? We should give solution. Krishna consciousness, preaching means you have to give them some solution. What is the solution for Middle East problem now? So we have to tell, okay, you want to fight? Go separately. We have to tell United Nations organ, fight according to Kshatriya principles. First, you know, bring Senate. You want United Nations, you want to protect us. You want to give human rights? Okay. You don't disturb general mass, children, women and all. So you go, take separately, fight. First this rule should be implemented. They will not hear for that. Because they all unite, UNO fellows also, they are demons actually, in the name of human rights. Americans in the name of human rights, what they want to capture all, you know, oil bases there, right? So it's just superficial, it is, human rights, that, right? So we have to give them solution. So when they don't hear all this guidance, good guidance, we should have our own brahmanas, revive dharma, you know, dhanurveda. We should have our own weapons to tackle all this technological weapons. Technological warfare will always be demonic, it is, because even traditional demons also in the shastra, you see shalva and all, you know. They use illusory, like Indrajit in Ramayana, illusory techniques of fighting. This is illusory technique of fighting, it is. And technology is Mayadana's contribution. In Kali Yuga, so Kali Yuga is mode of ignorance and lower planets are mode of ignorance. In lower planets, Mayadana has developed all this technology, electricity and everything, rock music. That all that thing comes in. So Mayadana's disciples, scientists, they bring that to Earth in Kali Yuga. Because Ali Kali Yuga was same guna, no? Lower planets mode of ignorance and Kali Yuga is mode of ignorance. Little lesser quantity than what the demons have. So in this way it comes. So they will fight with all these technological weapons. But we should, like traditional Kshatriyas, they tackled all these things. So we should create such Kshatriyas. Brahmanas should revive all the Dhanurvedas. And smash these demons. Prabhupada, he wrote, it's not that, Bhagavad Gita is not just non-violent movement, our mission is. So Brahmanas should be non-violent, but Kshatriyas should be violent, but Brahmanas will revive Dhanurveda and teach Kshatriyas. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's mission is just it's not non-violent mission. Non-violence is Gandhi's mission. No? Krishna's mission, and Prabhupada has written about all these things. In one letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he writes, so I am very happy to hear that you want to make Americans to surrender to Lord Chaitanya by distributing books. So our philosophy is that either by philosophy, our plan is that either by philosophy or by force. First by philosophy, then by force. We have to make people to surrender to Krishna. Demons will not just by philosophy, good instructions, good plan, you know, good ideas. If we give them, they will not accept it. But who is giving ideas also? We have to preach to United Nations people actually. We have to tell them, look, you follow these principles, there will be, your purpose of United Nations bringing peace in the world will be established. But who is preaching all these points? Because we don't understand all these points. We have better ideas, you know, right? Who will not accept this actually? Right? We don't want to, we want to give human rights to people, but then why you are blowing, sending drone and blowing them up, you know? What right you are giving actually? This is hypocrisy, you know? So you follow this, then your human rights will be taken care of. Why not armies face, you know, fight face to face? Why you are bombing, you know, right? This is nonsense. There should be regulation on all arms, you know, arms race. There should be regulation on arms race. But these all United Nations people who are running that United Nations, they are all dull rascals. They are, you know, their brain is filled with stool. They cannot understand what is human right actually. So we should give this knowledge. This knowledge is there. But we don't want to preach directly, intellectually like this, you know. We want to adjust and join hands with them. Then whole world together will go to hell, that's all. Right? Devotees will be blown in the future, right? And it has happened in the past, right? Demons will blow off devotees. Right?
With
blow,
them up,
he
will blow us up.
If you don't have Varnashrama, then you will be blown. You will become Gandhian moment. Gandhi, Britishers are shooting, and these fellows, oh, Om Shanti, Shanti. Non-violence, Ahimsa, Ahimsa, like that he is doing. Our Pakistanis came and attacked him. He gave all weapons to Pakistanis. They came and with the same weapons they came and attacked Indians. Right? Such stupid Gandhi. So Krishna conscious movement is becoming like that Gandhi movement actually. Right? You agree with me? Right?
Ramakrishna movement.
No, Gandhi movement, you know, all this joining hands with all non-violence, this, that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram.